express my appreciation for the fact that you've come to be with us. We just finished an excellent gospel meeting with Nicholas Edwards. We read in our Bible study this morning where Paul, on his second preaching trip, confirmed the churches. Churches were strengthened through gospel preaching. When the word of the Lord was preached and taught, and the kind of preaching that Nicholas did this past week is the kind of preaching that strengthens the church. And we commend him for it and rejoice for the consolation, the encouragement that we receive through the preaching of the gospel. We encourage you this morning to get your Bible and follow along in our study. Feel free to take whatever notes you might like to take. As most of you know, the Terre Haute Casino had its opening Friday, April 5, just up the road here, a few hundred yards from our meeting place. Will I be going to the casino? Don't bet on it. It's been reported that the casino was constructed at a cost of more than $290 million to provide a place for gambling. What is gambling? It's not playing games without stakes or wagers. It's not planting crops. It's not buying stock. It's not purchasing insurance or crossing the street. Gambling is to bet on an uncertain outcome, as of a game or sporting event. To play a game for stakes, especially a game whose outcome is at least partly determined by chance. According to Gamblers Anonymous, gambling for the compulsive gambler is any betting or wagering for self or others, whether for money or not, no matter how slight or insignificant, where the outcome is uncertain or depends upon chance or skill, constitutes gambling. I'd like to take just a few moments and talk to you this morning about why we don't go to the casino. You might note that the last two letters in that word casino spell no. That's why we don't go. Just say no to the casino. And the list of reasons that we provide as to why we don't go to the casino also hold true for playing cards for money, betting on one's personal skill, such as shooting pool or bowling, betting on sports teams, playing the lottery, betting on the races, buying raffle tickets, and any other form of gambling. Why we don't go to the casino? First of all, it violates Bible principles regarding transfer of property. How many people go to the casino or engage in forms of gambling without giving consideration to Bible principles? What are the Bible principles that regard transfer of property? As you read and study the Bible, the Word of God, you come to understand that the Scriptures authorize three ways for money or possessions to transfer from one owner to another. One of those principles is the principle of labor. Gambling violates the principle of labor. The Scriptures teach that one may work to produce goods or services which are a benefit to other people. Other people may then pay the worker to compensate for their labor. You recall in Matthew 20, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, how that a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When I was in Mesa, Arizona, a few weeks ago, we were headed to the meeting house on Sunday morning. We passed by a filling station. I saw lots of men standing outside the filling station. I asked the people I was with, what are all these men doing standing out here around the filling station? And they told me they were day laborers. They were these immigrants They were standing there waiting for somebody to come and hire them, put them to work. And they stand there until somebody hires them, or they get tired of waiting, or they get up to no good. And so I was reminded of the parable of the laborers, where there are those standing, waiting for someone to hire. But the owner of a vineyard paid the laborers for their work. As you read in Matthew 20, 1 through 15. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 7, the Lord taught that the laborer is worthy of his hire. In the book of James chapter 5 and in verse 4, it is written, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath." To refuse to pay people who work for us constitutes fraud. Paul, writing the church of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, talked about the need to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And so there is such a thing as honest gain as opposed to dishonest gain. Honest gain is through working. We meet our needs as we do our own business and work, not trying to take what other people have earned. Then in 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 7, Paul penned, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Paul worked to provide for his needs, and taught that people should work so they can eat their own bread. If they will not work, they should not eat. Gambling does not fit this category because it accomplishes no productive labor which benefits others. It violates the Bible principle regarding labor. But also, the Bible teaches that one party may obtain possessions from another in exchange for other goods or money. Each party is fairly compensated by receiving goods or money of fair value, which in return for the goods or money that have been given up. A good example of that is in Genesis chapter 23, the first 16 verses, when Abraham brought a cave from Ephron for money. You remember when Sarah died in Kirjath Arba? And Abraham said in verse 9 that he may give me the cave of Machpelah as much money as it is worth. He shall give it me for possession of a burying place amongst you. And he said the land is worth 400 shekels of silver in verse 15. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver. Here's an example of exchange, where a cave, a burying place for his wife, in exchange for 400 shekels of silver. In Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, we read where a merchant sold possessions to buy a pearl. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This principle of exchange is seen when we read of the encounter of Jesus with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. The Bible says his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat, John 4 and in verse 8. In a fair transaction, both parties receive something which they view as being a fair value compared to what they gave up. Neither party should attempt to take the other person's property without giving fair value as compensation in exchange. Gambling does not fit in this category either, does it? Because the loser is not compensated by the winner. It violates the principle of fair exchange. But also it violates the principle of giving. One, the Bible teaches, can knowingly give of his own free will goods or services to someone else as an expression of goodwill or kindness, with no obligation or commitment from the other person to give any form of compensation in return. Paul wrote the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good," now listen, "that he may have to give to him that needeth." One who has goods, he earned by working with his hands the thing which is good, he may give to help people in need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 shows that giving should be done willingly and cheerfully, not grudgingly. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." It is taught in Acts 20 and verse 35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Our giving must be motivated by love, compassion, and desire to help others. 1 John 3, 17 and 18 teach, "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In the love chapter, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Does gambling fit this category? It does not, because gamblers do not give willingly, freely, as an act of love or to meet a need. And so gambling violates the Bible principles regarding transfer of money. The Bible authorizes property transferred through labor, exchange, and giving, and gambling does not fit any of these categories. But also, we won't be going to the casino because it's a form of covetousness and greed. Now, the Bible often warns us to avoid covetousness and greed. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 5, Paul said, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater." Did you know the Bible equates covetousness with idolatry? It does. He said that a covetous man who is an idolater does not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's Ephesians 5, 5 through 6. In 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9 beginning, it is written, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." These passages show that those who covet will not receive the kingdom of God, but God's wrath abides on them. Romans 1 shows they are worthy of death. And so are those who approve or consent with them. Paul said in Romans 1 and in verse 29, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness." And in verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things as covetousness, are worthy of death." And he said, "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them." To have pleasure in them is to approve of them. To have pleasure in them is to consent with them. And so it's not just the covetous, he said, and others associated with the covetous in this context, that are worthy of death, but those who have pleasure in them, those who consent with them, those who approve of them. And Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that members of the church who practice it should be disciplined. He said in 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 10 and 11, how that he had written in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. We heard in our good reading from 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, a passage that warned about covetousness when it is written, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He taught the love of money is the root of all evil and instructed Timothy, flee these things. Flee greed. Flee covetousness. Flee the love of money. Just what is covetousness and greed? It is a desire for the increasing of one's substance by appropriating that of others. And one form of covetousness is desiring to obtain someone else's property in some way other than the ways God has authorized. And we just talked about those three ways that God has authorized: through labor, working for it, exchange, or through a generous gift. It's a form of covetousness and greed. Why won't we be going to the casino? Because it is contrary to the golden rule and the second commandment. The golden rule, as it's often referred to, stated by Jesus in Matthew 7 and in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We are to do to others as we'd have others to do unto us. Gambling violates the principle of this passage because a gambler wants to take the possessions of others, but he does not want others to take his possessions. In Matthew 22 and in verse 39, we have the second commandment as stated by Jesus. He had taught, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's an excellent article in today's bulletin, gambling versus love of God and man, based upon the statements made by Jesus in these passages. We hope that you'll read that and take advantage of it. Now, does the gambler love his neighbor as he loves himself? Does he? When he exploits his neighbor? In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, again in the love chapter, Paul taught that love seeketh not his own. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are to seek the good interest of others, not just ourselves. Gambling is selfish and self-seeking. The gambler seeks personal gain and profit by taking other people's possessions without requiting them, and that's contrary to love as taught by the Lord in the second commandment. And that's another reason why we won't be going to the casino. It's contrary to the golden rule and the second commandment. But also, we won't be going to the casino because it is addictive. The toll-free problem gambling and helpline phone number in Gamblers Anonymous both reveal how habit-forming gambling is. Gamblers Anonymous says, our Gamblers Anonymous experience seems to point to these alternatives: to gamble, risking progressive deterioration, or not to gamble, and develop a better way of life. Does this mean I can't even participate in a little penny ante game or World Series pool? Gamblers Anonymous says it means exactly that. A stand has to be made somewhere, and Gamblers Anonymous members have found the first bet is the one to avoid, even though it may be as little as matching for a cup of coffee. Researchers led by Dr. Hans of Massachusetts General Hospital reported gambling produces a similar pattern of activity to cocaine in the cocaine addict. The Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling said, teens are twice as likely as adults to become addicted to gambling. No denying, gambling is addictive, habit forming. Otherwise, no need for such an organization as Gamblers Anonymous to exist, like the Alcoholics Anonymous. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, I will not be brought under the power of any. And in chapter 9 and verse 27, he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I won't be going to the casino because gambling is addictive. But also, we won't be going to the casino because it is poor stewardship. We are stewards of possessions that really belong to God, that He has put in our keeping. Everything that we have, our entire being and existence, we owe to God. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And in the instructions that David gave prior to his death concerning the temple, he recognized that the things that the people gave were really the things that had been given to them from God. They were blessings of God. We are to be faithful and wise stewards of the blessings that God has entrusted us with. In Luke chapter 12, and in verse 42, it is asked, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord should make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? It is written in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Would God consider us faithful stewards if we wasted his goods in gambling? Think of the prodigal son who took his father's inheritance and wasted his substance in riotous living. Would you want someone to take your gift and wager it? Suppose you gave a gift of value to the person, entrusting them with that, and they took and they wagered it and lost it. Would you consider that good stewardship? Would an earthly master approve if you wasted his goods in this manner? It is poor stewardship. And so we won't be going to the casino. But also it sets a bad example. We are to set a good example. Does the gambler set this kind of example that we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 4? When Paul said in verse 12, be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Does he? We are to be a light to others so they will see our good works and glorify God. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13, the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We won't be going to the casino because it puts one with evil companions and leads to other sins. Gambling attracts evil men like a dead animal lures vultures. You know, gamblers are not known as spiritually minded people. Gambling is associated with evils such as drinking and immoralities of all kinds. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. Also in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 11, Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Not only does it put one in company of evil companions, but gambling leads to other sins. Neglect, as the home is robbed of time and provisions. Abuse, almost 20% of wife abuse cases involve domestic tension from compulsive gambling, according to the Georgia Council on Moral and Civic Concerns. The National Council on Problem Gambling has estimated that one in five problem gamblers attempt to kill themselves. And so not just neglect and abuse, but suicide. And so gambling puts one with evil companions and leads to other sins. Another reason why we won't be going to the casino is because it does not follow the example of Jesus. We are to be imitators of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter taught in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verses 21 and 22 that Jesus left us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel account, he said in verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And went on to say in verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. There's a principle laid down that we are to be as our master. We are to be as our Lord. We're to be like Jesus. And that was the principle that Paul taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 when he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you see Jesus playing a slot machine? Putting down money at a dice or poker game? Does our example agree with the teaching and practice of our Master and Lord? Here are eight reasons why we won't be going to the casino. It violates Bible principles regarding transfer property. It's a form of covetousness and greed. It's contrary to the golden rule and the second commandment. It's addictive. It's poor stewardship. It sets a bad example. It puts one with evil companions and leads to other sins. And it does not follow the example of Jesus. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Would you choose to lay up your treasures in heaven and not on the gaming or gambling tables, as taught by Jesus in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. We'd like to encourage you to not be the servant of sin, but to become a servant of righteousness. Paul said in Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The first century church was composed of people who came out of covetousness. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 6, where the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, nor covetous. He went on to say, such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can repent of this sin like you can any other sin and receive forgiveness by the grace of God. If you'll hear the word of the Lord, believe it and obey it in turning from your sin unto God, confessing your faith in the Son of God and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how the folks in Rome were made free from sin, when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And that form of doctrine involved them dying to sin, being buried in baptism, and rising to walk in newness of life. Would you crucify the old man of sin? That old man of sin may be a covetous man, may be a gambling man, may be a drinking man, may be a stealing man, may be a man that would take advantage of others. But by the grace of God, you can be a new man today. You can be a new creature. You can be one who is content with such things as he has, and work with your hands the thing that is good, and give to him that needeth. Love God with all of your heart, and love your fellow man as you love yourself. And we implore you today, by the grace of God, to come. Make your life right with God. All things are ready. As together we stand and sing, won't you come?